Please turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Today I want to go on and look at six practical steps to evangelizing. Step number one, live it. You mean I don't go out there and beat people over the head with the Bible? No. You get to live it first. You see, they need to know that what you're saying is genuine. It's not some rhetoric that you've learned, something you want to just throw up on them. Seriously, a lot of people just do that, man, when they're witnessing. So step one is live it. I've said here, live your hope, and in fact, live a life of hope. Long before you ever talk about it, just live it. See, people need to ask you what it is about you that's different. And in order to ask that, they need to see it first. Amen? Amen? And I think that's what I think, I remember. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if this is an appropriate example, but I just thought about it, so I'm going to tell you. I remember this, it was one of those little joke things, okay. It was this lady was driving this car that had all these things plastered on it. Anyway, and I mean, she was using colorful metaphors and all kinds of sign language and everything while she's on the road. And the police car pulls her over. And she's like, well, what did I do wrong? And said, please get out of the car and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so they're interrogating her. And she goes, well, what's the matter? And they said, can we please see, you know, your registration papers and so on? And so she pulls them all out. And they establish that this car belongs to her and everything else. And she goes, why? You know, why'd you pull me over? It wasn't that I was speeding or anything. They said, oh, we thought you'd stolen this car because it says Jesus loves you and everything on it. And there you are in the car using bad language and doing sign things and out the window and everything else. We really thought somebody stole your car. You know, see, this is the problem we have. You know, the way we live is different to what we say. You know, we want to preach a gospel, but at the same time, we're living, my goodness. Sometimes even the world is embarrassed. And the Apostle Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians, by the way. He says it's even shameful. Anyway, so this goes back to everything that we learned about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said in verse 19, though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And he went on to say in verse 22, remember, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. In other words, he did everything he could to enter their world and understand them and be an example of God's love to them. And by doing so, save as many as he possibly could. Now, the reason he went to such lengths to live this way is brought out in what he says in 2 Corinthians. And we'll look at this now, chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Tremendous scriptures. He says, but the only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, by the way. He says, your lives are a letter. That's really what I want to focus on. Your lives are a letter. And he says, written in our hearts, and everyone can read it. Amen? And recognize our good work among you. Verse 3, he says clearly, you are a letter from Christ, prepared by us. It is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on stone, but on human hearts. I want you to notice a couple of phrases in there. Number one, he says, your lives are a letter. Everyone can read it. Can I say this? Your lives are a letter and everybody is reading it. What are they reading? Is it something good? Is it something that promotes the Lord? Or is it the exact opposite? Is it something that they look and say, if that's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with people like that or that religion? Because they look at it as a religion then, you know, when it is a relationship. And see, that's what's really sad. A lot of people out there are religious. That's all they are. They are just religious in their mannerisms, in the way they talk, in their beliefs. It's all religion. It's all about you can't do this and you can't do that. It's not about who they know. It's about all the cans and can'ts. Can I just say this? If you fall in love with the Lord, you won't do any of the cons because you won't want to hurt him. You know, I've said this before, that this is all about relationship. I don't know if you figured that out or not. Everything in here is about relationship, one way or another. It's either in relationship with people or relationship with God. Interesting, isn't it? Even creation, it was done because God so loved. Relationship. Anyway, so for the sake of clarity, and so you can see and understand what is being said here, in relation to step one, allow me to recombine these verses a bit, okay? And I want to read it this way. The Apostle Paul says, your lives are a letter that everyone can read. It is a letter from Christ himself, written with the Spirit of the living God. Isn't that beautiful? It is a letter from Christ. Do you know you are a letter from the Lord to people that's written by the Spirit of God? Wow. I really like that. That's how powerful what you do and how you live life in front of others is. Amen? We really need to get this, family. Otherwise, you know, we're loose and free in the way we live, okay, sometimes, and it's not good. You know, I think I have seen this. Christians, people that say they're Christians, you know, they get out in the business world and my goodness, they rip everybody's eyeballs out. They trust nobody. They just have this kind of, and you're trying to be nice. You know, I mean, that's one of the things we're going to get to today, hopefully, is, you know, one of the things is just be nice, be nice. Can we start by just being nice? Is that so hard? To some people, it's impossible. And I just think, you're a Christian. The love of God has been poured into your heart. What happened? Some Christians, I don't want to take with me certain places. Especially when we're trying to make a good impression. Nobody from this church, by the way. Just to clarify. Okay. But there are some people I just think, I want to come. I said, no, please don't. You know, please. this doesn't help the cause at all. Stay at home, pray or something. I don't know. Something else. But as one author put it, Christian lips must be corroborated by Christian lives. When believers are challenged, what they answer in words has to be supported by character. Did you get that? What they answer in words has to be supported by character. Hypocrisy is soon exposed for what it is. Their day-to-day conduct as professing followers of Christ must be such that they can face any false accusation with a clear conscience. Did you hear the words false accusation? Okay, if they're accusing you, you've done something naughty and they're accusing you, well then, you know, okay, that's different to when they're lying about you. Do you know, it talks about Jesus' trial that the religious leaders paid people off to lie. Isn't it ridiculous? Isn't that sad? So that's what we're talking about. In fact, the Apostle James had a lot to say about this. Let's go to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20, no, 18. He says here, reading from the New King James Version, he says, dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anyone. Suppose you see a brother or sister who needs food or clothing, and you say, well, goodbye, and God bless you, stay warm, eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It is dead and useless. Now, someone might argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. I say, I can't see your faith if you don't have good deeds, but I will show you my faith through my good deeds. You know, this is something that the Apostle James himself says. You know, you can say something, but if you're not doing anything, because that's how you show what you believe. A lot of people still don't get this. They think, I show people what I believe by where I go to church. No, you show people what you believe by what you do. Especially when you're outside of church. Hello. Okay? And I want you to notice, it's not the good sentiments, it's when you actually do something. Amen. That last statement, when he says, I can't see your faith if you don't have good deeds, but I will show you my faith through my good deeds, that last statement is what we're talking about. And that is serving others and living out your faith so people can see what you believe and be drawn to you and be willing to listen to what you have to say. Amen? In his letter to Philemon, the Apostle Paul expresses the same sentiments that the Apostle James did, but in a positive way. When he says in verse 6, Philemon is just one chapter. Okay, no. Okay, so it's Philemon in verse 6. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, I hope. I wasn't well, okay. He says, you are generous because of your faith. And I'm praying. Notice again, he starts out by saying, you are generous because of your faith. I really love that. He says, you are generous because of your faith. He says, I can see generosity coming out because of what you believe. Amen. And he says, and I'm praying that you will really put your generosity to work, for in so doing, you will come to an understanding of all the good things we can do for Christ. I love that. Huh? That you can come to an understanding of all the good things we can do for Christ. Not just say, but we can actually do for him. Do you know when you are blessing people, you are doing things for the Lord? I thought I was doing things, you know, for someone. No, you're actually doing things for the Lord. He said, when you've done it to the least one of these, you've done it to me. Amen? And, you know, you might say, well, that was just brothers. Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? If he's willing to go that far with the world who, you know, kind of want to go their own way. All of you like sheep have, you know, okay, gone astray and everything else. God loved every single person. God was willing to give his very best for everyone. Amen? So should we as his children. So here we see how you can share your faith in what you do, which is another way of saying that this is a way we can live out our faith and be a witness to others, whether believers or unbelievers. See, again, you know, witnessing is who you are more than what you're saying. Are you getting this? This is what has been so wrong for so long. Hey, that rhymed. You know, people have been trying to figure out how do I kind of fence this one through? How, you know, parry and strike, and, you know, how do I do this? They said this, I said that. They said this, I said that. And they're trying to win in arguments constantly. You know, you might win the argument, but you lose the battle. You just come off as irritating and superior and, oh, I know all the answers. That's not what people need. They need someone to hear them. They need someone to pray for them. Amen. They need somebody to hold their hand some days and to take the time to listen to them. We're going to get to that too. All right, let's just keep going. In fact, the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Now, I have to combine two versions to get this right. I'm going to be combining the New Living Translation and the New International Version. I don't know what you guys are going to do. So just listen, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, live such good lives among your unbelieving neighbors that they will see your good deeds and honorable behavior and they will believe. Wow. Really like that. You know, took a couple of versions to pull that out, but did you get that? Do you know that your life can lead somebody to believe in God? I don't know how many times people have sort of seen somebody just believe God for something and just go through something, and they just go, wow, what is that? Maybe there is something to this. God, if you can help them, you can help me. You know what I'm trying to say? Things like that happen. All these verses show us how loudly your life speaks to others. And when what you say and what you do are consistent with what you profess to believe, that's when you are the greatest witness for the Lord. And when you are the most effective in your witnessing. Can I get an amen? Okay. I've always said this, I'm saying this over and over again. If they like what they see, they will listen to what you say. Amen? We've got to get the first thing right. Okay. So, the journey to sharing your hope with others begins with simply living it. And if nothing else, just be nice. I said this before, be nice to people. That in itself will go a long way. Because you cannot win over your enemies to Christ. You can only win your friends. In other words, even though people may start out as your enemies, listen to me. If you live this life, they'll turn. They'll see something in you. They should see God in you. They should see the Lord in you. And they will start becoming your friends. Now you're halfway there. Now they're ready to listen to you. Amen? And that's why I said, you can only win your friends to the Lord and make them friends with the Lord. Because that's what you're trying to do. At the end of the day, it's not about you. It's about introducing them to Jesus, introducing them to God. Are you all with me? Because you're not Savior. Or you're just a little pointing board. This way to salvation. This way to happiness. This way to hope. Don't look at the board. Look at where it's going. Okay? Some people want to, anyway. The Jews did that. They got stuck on the things about God instead of God himself. And they stuck it on their head. And that's where it stayed. Never got in. Just stayed out there. Okay? All right. Pastor Rick Warren, I've taken a lot of this from him, and he said something, and I thought it was just very insightful. He says, before people say, is Jesus real? They want to know, are you real? Before they want to know, is the Bible legitimate? Can it be trusted? They first want to know, are you legitimate? Can you be trusted? Are you hearing this? Before they want to know, is everything that Scripture teaches credible? They want to know, are you credible? Because you're the letter. And so again, it all starts by living your hope, being nice to people, building bridges of love and friendship between your heart and theirs, and allowing Jesus to walk across. Amen. That's why Romans chapter 12, the latter half of verse 13, simply says, practice hospitality. Two words. Practice, because we're not good at this normally. It's not a natural thing, I think. It's something we have to learn. And it only comes through practice. Here again, we find that making people feel welcome and wanted requires practice. And that can take the form of shared meals, spending time with them, going to special events. I've just listed a few things here. whatever, okay? Everything that the Apostle Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 9 that builds bridges and opens doors. That's what you're doing. Again, I know you have your own life. And, I'm not talking about you doing this 24 hours a day, just being at the beck and call of people. You can't, okay? But the thing is, there are moments here and there. You all know what I'm talking about. When somebody says, oh, could you go here or could you do that? And, it might be a little bit inconvenient. Have you noticed? It's never at a convenient time for you. Because it's their schedule, not yours. We have to get that revelation, okay? And then we need to pray about our schedule. And we need to say, God, can I change this? Now, there may be some things you can't. I'm looking at Andrew right now, and, when they say he's flying, darling. You invite him to a concert, he's on a plane. That's where he works, okay? Now, you know, there are situations where you can't move things around and you need to apologize, but don't leave it there. You know, just say, can I do something else with you at another time? Always look for that. Amen? Okay. After you've learned to live it, number two, there's six of these. So I'm going to try and get through them quickly. That was a big one, okay? All right. Okay. Learn it. Now, what do I mean by that? Specifically, the things we have been looking at and how to share verbally the hope that is within you. Now, I've been talking about this. You need to learn how to do this. You need to learn some scrippies and, you know, oh, I knew it was coming to this. Yeah, you should know something at least. You know, at least like my God shall supply all of my need. That works, doesn't it? Don't you need that every day? Okay? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, you know, learn some of those things. And you can share some of those things. But you need to know them to share them. Are you all here? Amen? I've said, in other words, even though you know you've got hope, you still may have a hard time expressing it. Remember again the Apostle Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 3, the latter half of verse 15, and also in the beginning of verse 16, where he writes, this is from the New Living Translation, if you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but you must do this in a gentle and respectful way. Don't get your back up against the wall. Don't get all defensive, okay? Somebody asks them, why do you believe what you believe? Well, I mean, you know? No, they're not challenging you. Everybody, you know, there's people that are out there that everything is a challenge to them. Everything is somebody questioning them and somebody challenging them. Some people just want to know. Cool your jets, relax. Huh? Just talk. Okay. You know, maybe they actually want to know. Maybe, God forbid, they've seen something about you they actually like. Don't ruin it. Okay, all right. So, first, the Apostle Peter says that whenever people see something different about you or your life and ask you the question, why do you live the way you do? Or why do you believe what you do? You need to be ready with an answer. So we've looked at a lot of different things in how to answer people and the way we can take the different promises of God. Okay, I hope you remember all those. Go back and revisit that lesson. But beyond that, we also see the way in which we are to answer them. Here in the verses, it says in a gentle and respectful way. So not only do you need to know what the answer is, but you need to do it in a gentle and respectful way. Okay, which means you don't attack what they believe. Because sometimes they say, well, we believe this. And then you just get all upset. Just don't. Just go, oh, okay, that's interesting. Well, this is what we believe. Can I just say this? If what you're believing is better than what they're believing, you know, as one preacher said, forget my thing. I think your thing is better. Let's just do your thing. you know, don't discount the power of what you know. And how much of a blessing it is to you that if you just let them know, they might think, that's better. Just don't get all upset. Just tell them. Are you all here? Okay. See, that's where you can't be shy. You know, they might say, well, before I can get this, I got to climb three mountains. And then, you know, I just go to God's word, find the promise, and no mountains. Just that one. You know? You want that? go climb three mountains. It's okay. Go for it. I'm just saying this is all I do. And it works. It's been working. So if you ever want to know, you know, we're here. So simple. I'm oversimplifying, okay? But you know what I'm trying to say. Don't make things complicated. All right. Okay, that brings us to the next step. See, we got through that really quickly. Okay, number three. Now, Rick Warren puts this one out, and I had reservations about this one, but I think I need to share it anyway. I thought there was a bit of wisdom in what he was saying, and I love the man. Okay, he has a massive church. All right. He puts this one in. He says, apologizing for not sharing sooner. Now, everybody that hates apologizing, just hang, okay? Just hang with me, okay? This is a great little technique that will gently and respectfully open the door to share the good news. Can I just read this, okay? Because I don't want to miss anything. So how do you do it? Picture this. You go to someone you've known for a long time, and you let them know that you're a little embarrassed because you've known this person for such a long time and never shared with them the most important thing in your life, and now you feel awkward about bringing it up, okay? And the reason that you never brought it up was because you were afraid that if you did, they would think less of you and that it could even ruin your relationship with them. But you say, that was selfish of me, and I'm really sorry, because real friends don't keep these kinds of things secret, especially since it has had such a huge impact on my life and has brought me so much joy and peace and blessing over time. And if you would like to know about it, I would love to talk to you about it sometime. Not now. They can choose now, but you just say sometime. Watch how this is working, okay? If they ask, what is it generally about? You can simply say, it's about my relationship with God. It's not religion, okay? And before you say anything, you need to say, it has nothing to do with religion or getting involved with any religious activities. It's just all about having a relationship with God and living in His blessing. It's simple. Are you getting this? Remember, we're not trying to clean the fish before we catch it. All right? So there's no need to address sin at this time. Okay. There'll be plenty of time to do that after they've received Jesus Christ as Lord and have the power of the Holy Spirit in them. They need that to do this, which is what they're going to need to be forgiven of and overcome sin in their lives. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26 describes the way we are to guide people to the Lord by saying there, this is from the New American Standard Bible, it says, the righteous is a guide to his neighbor. The righteous, that is you, is you are to be a guide to your neighbor. Notice you don't force anything. You simply guide. Are you getting this? Okay. Even clearer and closer to the original Hebrew is today's English version, which puts it this way, the righteous person is a guide to his friends. So that's what we're meant to be. We're just meant to be guides. You know, somebody says, how'd you get from here to there? Well, let me show you. You just guide them. They don't have to go that way. Are you all with me? Okay. That's what this is all about, gently guiding people to God in the most respectful way possible. Okay, that's again from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. In other words, love is always at the center of it all, with Proverbs chapter 17 and the first half of verse 17 saying, a friend loves at all times. I really like that. A friend doesn't love once in a way. A friend loves at all times. In other words, what you are ultimately showing them is that you love, respect, and care enough about them to share God with them. Did you get that? All in the hope that they will connect to God through Christ and, like you, enjoy His love and His peace and His blessing all the days of their life. That's what you want to do. That's all you're inviting them to. It's not religion or church or anything else. Now, we're going to do that at the end. But right now, you're not doing that, okay? All right, okay. I'll show you a reason why you'll bring them to church. And for some, you will find that the greatest news will be that they can have their past forgiven and finally be at peace with themselves and with God and know that eternity in heaven is waiting for them. Amen? I've said here again, whatever approach you use, be led by the Spirit, wait on God's supernatural timing, and only say what God tells you to say. Don't be so excited and throw up on them. How do you know that? I did it. Okay, I was so excited about everything. I would just preach them the Old Testament, the New Testament, maps, everything. Poor things, you know. And people say, you know, just cool your jets. Well, you're just a cold Christian. I'm a hot one, okay? you know what you say. And you're dumb and you got your nappies hanging around your ankles, you know. It's just like, yeah. Anyway, this isn't about you and how hot you are. Oh, yeah, you can take that whatever way you want. All right. This is about you gently leading people. This is about you loving people, respecting them. Amen. And taking time. with them. I have run out of time. I've got three more. How about we do the next three next week? Is that okay? I'll just give you the next three. No, I won't. Otherwise, you'll be going, what is it? Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today for all that we are learning and for all the things that you're sharing with us. And I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we do need your Holy Spirit in all of this. Not just in what we say and don't say, but how we live. The power to live the way you want us to live. What Jesus said, wait for this power before you go witness to anyone. Because it is the power that allows us to live the kind of life that draws people to you. And we want that, Lord. We want our lives to draw people to you. Not just what we say, but what we do, who we are. And we just thank you for that. And we thank you for the wisdom that you impart to us as we continue to learn these things. That we know that we are never without you. That everything that we do, God, you never leave us, you never forsake us. We have you and all of heaven behind us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.